Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
The number one voice of liberty in the United States of America is Missouri Grassroots Radio. We're here tonight, and there are some people, if you didn't hear that intro, that used to think that liberty was as important as life itself, that if you couldn't have liberty, you might as well not be alive. Lisa's here with me tonight. How are you doing, Lisa?
I'm doing just fine, Dave. Thank you for having me. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. No, thanks for being here. I always love having you along. Lisa kind of produces, runs the soundboard, and helps me stay on track on Monday nights here on the Hour of Truth. It's 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835. If you'd like to be on the show tonight, give a call, and you can talk to Lisa, your very own self. Okay, Lisa, tomorrow's the next big debate. What are you thinking?
Looking forward to it. I think it'll be good for Romney because I think that Obama's not going to have his teleprompter to help him. And, you know, that off-the-cuff stuff was never something good that Obama was – it was never something that Obama was good at. So I'm kind of looking forward to see how he comes across. And I'm kind of looking for a shift in strategy. I'm kind of curious to see how they shift their strategy to go after Romney.
Yeah, yeah. I would be very, very surprised, shocked even, if Obama did as poorly tomorrow as he did the first time out. He's had 2 weeks to prep and to work on facial expressions and all the deportment that he should carry up onto the stage with him. So I would be shocked even if he did as poorly as he did last time. I hope he doesn't. I really hope. That, you know, what disappointed me about the last one, and it thrilled me to see Obama standing up there looking like a toady, but what really disappointed me was that when that becomes the issue, you know, Obama's spastic looks and idiocy versus Romney's polished appearance, when that becomes the focus, we lose track again of the issues. And while I want to win this election, I think it is imperative for the future of our country that we win this election on the issues, that America say that is not what we want, this is what we want. Not about people. We've tried that socialism thing. We don't like it. We want free markets. We want capitalism. We want liberty. And without a good, solid debate on issues, I don't think people get to really consciously make that choice.
Well, in contrast to that, I think it is about style. I think the people at this stage of the game, the people that have been paying attention are already brushed up on the issues, and the people that are just trying to figure out who to vote for, it's a popularity contest. I think that's how Obama got in the first place, because he was charming and smooth and polished and slick, and he kind of controlled the room. And I think people that are paying attention between now and November 6th are looking at style. It's all they're going to make emotional decisions based on what they see in these debates.
Well, and unless something really drastic happens, one way or the other,
but I think it's about style. I really do.
And well, yeah, to an extent, you're right. I mean, being one of the people who I think pays attention to what's going on, and being one of the people who on some things that are coming up, still haven't made up my own mind, I don't think you can totally dismiss people who say at this point that they're undecided as people who are just looking for style. There are some people out there who are still mulling over the actual issues in their head, I would guess.
Oh, you know, maybe, but I just think, I don't know. You know, I think maybe any other election, I think you could probably say that, but I just can't even believe that that's the case this time around, especially in the presidential election. So either people are working and their bank accounts are comfortable or they're not.
Well, yeah, and you may be true. You know, I mean, I may be tossing around a couple of ballot initiatives still in my head, but yeah, I mean, the difference is if you're paying any attention to where the country is going and what's happening and what is real and what's not real, then yeah, the issues on the presidential race were pretty clear years ago even.
I think so.
Yeah, you're right. So Aiken's making a surge in the polls.
Well, that's what I heard. There's another Wenzel poll that has him up by 4.
Yeah.
I think 4 or 6. And yeah. the Real Clear Politics and Public Policy polling have him down by 4.
Right.
Or 6. It's down by 6.
So who do you trust? Like Joe Biden says, look, who do you trust? Huh?
I don't trust the polls. I don't. I trust the polls a lot differently after the election is over. I think they're all being screwed. And I'll tell you, if he's... Just down by 6, you know, that's almost the margin of error, just beyond the margin of error.
Yep.
I think most people want, and if you look, I read the public policy poll today, and, you know, while Aiken is down by 6 in the overall poll, he's ahead in the idea that people want a Republican in the Senate, and they want the Republicans to control the Senate.
And that public policy poll is absolutely bought and paid for. I mean, I was reading a public policy poll today, and it has Romney down in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Michigan still, and down nationally. And it is the only poll I could find that has Romney under in anything.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I just think we're going to look at the polling a lot differently than we've looked at it in the past. Even Rasmussen has him down by 6.
Has Aiken down by 6?
Has Romney. Aiken down by 6.
Right.
But when I was Romney, is it not?
No, Rasmussen had Romney up today. Nationally. I didn't take Rasmussen apart state by state, but they had him up nationally by 2 points.
It's close and it's so tight. I just don't know. I think it's going to be a landslide victory for Romney.
Well,
I think it's come across. I think people are just done with Obama and the lies. I don't think that he's going to have the demographic turnouts that he had in 2008. And I think that the rest of that's going to go for Romney. So.
Yeah, I see his ad. I mean, absolutely. I was sitting in my office and the TV was on out in the other room all day long. And I could hear it down the hall. And I know I heard that ad 7 times minimum, maybe 8 or 9 times, where Obama came on and said about the $15 trillion that Romney was going to add to the deficit because of his tax cuts. And you know, you were talking about the lies. I mean, Obama's campaign chairman, Obama's budget chairman, Obama's budget advisors have all admitted that that's a lie, openly and publicly, and he just keeps putting it out there.
Well, because the average everyday person who's busy taking their kids to soccer practice doesn't hear that.
Right.
They only hear the commercial.
Yep. So hopefully they'll watch the debates tomorrow, and Romney can get that point across one more time with the picture of the pie. Speaking of really exciting contests, Lisa, how about them Cardinals? Go you Redbirds!
That's right. We're back on track with the Redbirds. I'm paying attention now that they're in the playoffs. So we're happy.
It's been great. Man, that game the other night where they came from 6 runs behind was probably as exciting as last year's Game 6, which I was fortunate enough to be at. But, yeah, this thing here the other night was just absolutely crazy. It was really, really, really classic St. Louis baseball. So they're starting right now. John Jay's up to bat. John Jay was up to bat. He's already lined out, so there's one out in the top of the first. But that'll be going on, and you know, maybe once in a while we'll actually give you folks listening to us since you came along to listen to us instead of watching the ball game. We'll give you an update as we go along on how that's going. Lisa, when we come back, we're going to do what we promised, and we're going to tackle some of those ballot initiatives. Aside from the four Missouri ballot initiatives, Prop A, the St. Louis Local Control, Prop B, the tobacco tax, Prop E, the governor and the exchanges, and Amendment 3 about these silly judges. Aside from those four, down there and up there, across there, over there in St. Charles County, you folks have an additional six on the menu for a total of 10, right?
For county and state, yes,
right.
Absolutely.
So it's absolutely crazy, and that's a tangled mess. And so we are going to, for our folks in St. Charles County, since they probably are the winners, if you guys can beat that, if you guys can beat four state and six local on your ballot, give us a call, because I think that probably is the high water mark for the state of Missouri in the upcoming election. 10 ballot initiatives aside from the candidate elections. If you can beat that, give us a call here sometime, and maybe next Monday we'll take on your county or city. You got anything in the city there, Lisa, or is that it?
City of St. Charles, we have several different municipalities within the county, and I haven't looked. There are some municipal issues on some of the ballots, and I haven't dissected all of them individually. But,
so some people there could have as much as 12 or 13.
Yes.
Well, okay. We'll not deal with those, because I didn't come prepared for that, but I did come prepared to entertain Lisa's ideas on these six St. Charles things. We're going to do that right after the break, and then we'll also talk about some of the upcoming stuff.
Here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
I will be held accountable. I've got 4 years. If I don't have this done in 3 years, then there's going to be a one-term proposition.
So dear, for peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
We are back. Lisa's here. Dave's here. This is the Hour of Truth on Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. It's 347-677-1835. We're going to talk about ballot initiatives. If you've got some there that you want to talk about, give us a call, 347-677-1835. We're not going to talk about the Missouri ones tonight. I'm saving that all for next week, and we'll recap all four of those the week after that. Then we've got on Election Eve. Good Lord, Lisa, we are less than 20 days to the election. Do you know that?
Hallelujah.
Yeah. We've got Cynthia Davis coming along. We are going to party down on Election Eve with Cynthia Davis. We're going to call it all over. We're going to wrap it up. We're going to hear another take from Cynthia. And then we're going to, and you know what we're going to throw in? We're also going to ask Cynthia where she stands on these four Missouri state propositions. But down there in St. Charles County, Lisa, you got a mess.
Yes, we do. There's a power grab going on in St. Charles County. People need to be aware of it.
So let's just jump right in there. You've got a question on the county ballot, County Proposition A, that says, shall the St. Charles County Charter be amended by adding subsection 4 as follows? And here's what they want to add to the charter. A council member shall forfeit his office if he is physically absent from 12 consecutive regular meetings of the council, unless excused by resolution of the council. So if you miss 12 meetings, the council fires you, basically. Unless they've passed a resolution, I mean, you know, you've got someone sick in the hospital or you got paralyzed in a car wreck or something like that, I guess that the council would pass a resolution to excuse you from those meetings. But miss 12 unexcused meetings and you're fired. What do you think of that, Lisa?
Well, you know, let's back up here and give a little background about the whole deal here in St. Charles County. There's some things at play here with this, especially this first one. But what most people don't understand, and let's just outline this in the very beginning, especially in St. Charles County, the county charter is your constitution. You know, it's written to be the guiding force of the county council and the county executive, and it's your Bible. You don't mess with it unless there's a huge issue. It would be, in effect, would we be changing the United States Constitution? And here's how this all came about here in St. Charles County. On the 13th of September, I believe, there were just, you know, a boatload of these bills introduced to the county council, and they had their first reading on the 13th of September. These are all initiatives to change the charter, to change your county constitution, you know, just weeks before they're being expected to be put on the ballot. And then the next week, the following week, they voted on them to put them all on the ballot. And there was a seventh. There was a smoking ban, which was the courts removed that after some protest, I believe, from the election authority. And, you know, right off the bat, you have to wonder, why are we being bombarded with charter amendments just weeks before the election without the opportunity for community input? Proposition A. Proposition A does something that all of these charter amendments do, and they take away the ability of the people to control the government in their county. So if you go to the trouble to elect an official to sit on your St. Charles County Council, and for whatever reason they don't show up to 12 board meetings, the council takes it upon itself to remove that person, that elected official. Well, nobody likes the idea of somebody not showing up to 12 consecutive board meetings. Of course, you would want those people off the ballot. But, however, you know, the people put that person on the board. The people have the right and the authority to take that person off the board through the election process. The council, we don't need the county council to do that for us. And all of the other issues aside, the fact that they've rushed this charter amendment through within just weeks of being putting it on the ballot without giving any information out to the public, without taking any information in from the public, without doing any research on it whatsoever, there it is. It's on the ballot, and they've decided that they're going to take control of this issue. There's no reason that you should vote for this, in my opinion. You know, this is all about taking power away from the people. Now, I think that this was all brought up in our county because we had a person on the council that was that went to Iraq, I believe. You know, they were sent overseas because they're an enlisted person, and they can vote or not to allow that person to teleconference in their votes and to teleconference themselves in. However, I think there were some issues, and I think that's why we have this on our ballot in November.
Okay, so the issues are basically they'd want this guy off?
Well, you know, I don't know all of the politics and all the details behind it. You know, that would be my guess.
Do you know if you have a recall in your charter?
I don't know that.
Okay, so if there is if there's a recall, then yes, I would agree with you wholeheartedly that this is a ridiculous question, because if there's a recall available, then it should certainly be up to the voters to recall the guy that they hired.
Well, the elections are every 2 years. I mean, it's not like they're on there forever. So, if they don't like the job the guy's doing, you vote him off, just like you vote off a state representative or a senator or any other, elected official. You vote him off.
Right.
And I believe that's what happened in this case. I think they voted the person off. And that's fine. That's the way it should work.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, do you know the answer to this? What is the difference? I mean, I'm sitting here looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things that change the charter. Shall the charter be changed to? Shall the charter be changed to? One of them is a proposition. Four are labeled questions. Question 1, 2, 3, and 4, and the other one is a city charter question law. What's the difference between these? Say a proposition and a question.
I spoke to the head of the election authority a week or so ago, and we spoke about that, and it was odd to him that all of these questions were not given specific names. It may have just been the time frame with which they were introduced, that there was no time. All of this was just rushed through it so quickly that there was no time. I know that we also had a smoking ban on the ballot as well.
Right.
And that was kicked out. The courts kicked it.
I think
they were just introduced and introduced to the county council within. Let's see. I think that as substitute bills or pieces of legislation within the council, and they were not necessarily named.
Well, yeah, and I'm not talking about the name like smoking ban or sheriff's thing exchange or I'm basically talking about why does one get called a proposition and one get called a question? Do we know that?
I don't know that.
Okay, I don't either. But I will before we talk again next Monday night, or maybe even Wednesday night, since you're going to talk about some propositions on Wednesday, I believe. So it's a no then on Proposition A, basically, in St. Charles County. Is that right?
It's actually a no on all of these propositions and questions, because none of this was done with community input. None of this was done with the proper vetting that should be fitting for putting a question to change your charter on the ballot. So. There are a lot of reasons. The wording and the change to the charter is enough to say no, but the principle of the issue is enough to override all of that. You should not be the public should not be overridden in such a way that it has been in this way to put these questions on the ballot. They should all be no.
Okay. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Can the city council or the county council just make a charter change?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, so they are not free to pass any law that would institute a change in the charter.
It's my understanding. Now, I could be wrong on this. I'm not completely sure, but it's my understanding that they have to put a charter change before the people.
Okay, all right. Let's move on then to question one, if we're done with Prop A. Are you done with Prop A? I'm done with Prop A.
I'm done with it.
All right. If you folks aren't done with Prop A, it's 347-677-1835. Question one, shall the charter of St. Charles County be amended to read that the county shall give written notice of the master plan to all other government entities within the county and include that entity in that plan only if the entity decides to participate. I don't even know what the hell that means. To require that ordinances containing a penalty for violation shall be placed in full on the county's website, posted in 6 public places, and the title published along with a description of where the ordinance may be viewed in its entirety, item 2. Item 3. To make a technical amendment to the bill's provision so the language in all sections of the charter are identical in presenting bills to the county executive. And item 4, providing that a veto override vote shall be taken within 30 days of the veto, and to require that the county executive will submit to the county council a proposed budget, item 5, and budget message for the following fiscal year by the 5th day of November. Now, this is what we call, when we're talking about the state legislature during the legislative session, this is what we call a kitchen sink amendment. I mean, God, Lisa, there's a little bit of everything in there.
Yeah, I mean, did you even understand this, trying to run this together? There's five, actually, in my conversations, too, with the election authority, there's five different issues in here. These should have been five different questions.
Absolutely.
And I think questions two and question four were run together, and I think that they required that they separate those. But this is just a perfect case of disenfranchisement. Even if you agree with some of what's going on, in question one, and you vote for it, and you disagree with the other issues, I mean, you're just completely disenfranchised as a voter. You're not really given your opportunity to speak to each issue respectively.
Right. So, and I can see what's going on here. What's going on here is that it sounds really liberty-loving to require ordinances with penalty violations to be placed on the county's website for 6 days and a title published. And it sounds really liberty-like to say that the budget has to be presented by the 5th day of November, 5 days into the new fiscal year. And so you can hang a bunch of people up on that and get a bunch of votes and then sneak in this other stuff.
You know, nobody's going to be able to go to the polls and understand that when they're standing at the voting booth.
Right.
They're not going to dissect it. They're not going to, you know, it's ridiculous, and it's kind of insulting to your intelligence for them to kind of squeeze all that together and expect people to make an intelligent decision on that, because they clearly haven't done their homework on it in the first place to present it in a legible and intelligent way for people to digest it. It's maddening.
It's crazy. That is absolutely crazy. When I mean, I was reading that myself earlier this week, and I don't even live within spitting distance of St. Charles County, and I'm thinking, what the heck is going on up there? Listen, folks, you folks that are in smaller counties like mine, where there aren't more people living in some of the cities than there are in these counties than there are in our entire county. In those larger counties, they have how many people on the council, Lise?
Seven, I believe.
Seven. See, we have three. We're Greene County. We're the third biggest city in the state of Missouri, and we have a council called a commission of three that does everything by majority vote. Two out of three passes anything. But in these bigger counties, they have larger commissions, and they call them county committees.
We have a county council.
Councils, right. County councils. And then they have a county executive, which is also an elected position that we've mentioned that county executive a couple of times here, who basically is kind of like the executive of the county, whereas the county council would be the legislative branch of county government, where this person would be like a mayor in your city.
Governor of the state, yeah.
Or the governor of the state, and even in Springfield, not a lot like the mayor, because our mayor is an impotent. We have a city manager who's hired by the city council to manage the city, and the mayor really just runs around presenting the key to the city to people and busting a shovel in the ground for groundbreaking. He's just a glorified member of the city council. But anyway, so that's the way it works in St. Charles County. So question one, the kitchen sink amendment, we're going to give it a name. The kitchen sink question is a no for sure. Okay, so on to question two. Shall the St. Charles County Charter be amended by providing that a vacancy on the city council shall be filled by the county executive, subject to approval by the council, that the person selected shall be a member of the same political party as the previous occupant? So if there's a vacancy and the person who's left the seat is a Democrat, then they would have to appoint a Democrat, and shall hold office until January 1st following the next general election, at which a successor shall be elected for the remainder of the term. This is an amendment to the current charter provision, which calls for the county to pay for a special election if the vacancy occurs more than 180 days before the end of the term. Okay, what do you think of that, Lisa? Now, that sounds pretty good.
Okay, connect the dots here.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we just ran through County Proposition A, where, you know, we've got the county council booting members off the board, and now we have, I mean, think about this. This is a county executive having complete control in appointing a new member to the county council. So instead of allow, as it stands now, the way the charter is written, you have to have a special election for the people to fill that vacancy. What this will do is take that out of the voters' hands, the opportunity to put a voted position, a voted person in position, and we're giving that to the county council. What do you think I think of that? It's you know, the Acme Crown Company here in St. Charles County is going to have a big order from Steve Ellman, because he will be king if we allow this to go through. So we will be crowning the county executive king to be able to appoint these people in these positions. We don't want to be doing this.
So 180 days, that's about 6 months, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So if a vacancy, under current law, let's get this all straight, if a vacancy comes up now, someone dies, God forbid, becomes critically ill and can't serve anymore, or gets disgraced in a brothel somewhere and has to resign, then if it's less than 6 months till the election, that seat just sits empty.
Right.
If it's more than 6 months to the election, the county calls a special election to fill that seat.
Yes.
Okay. And so what they want to do is instead of having of course, I don't even see a 180-day window in there. So, I mean, if there's only 2 months till the election, I guess this would kick in. But what they want to do is they want to not have a special election, which costs, you know, $1 million for a county. And they want to instead have the county executive appoint someone to that seat with the concurrence of the 7-member council.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a no?
Not in this day and age.
Okay.
Not in my opinion. And, again, I mean, all of this is done outside the purview of the community input. You know, they've got no community input on any of these questions or initiatives whatsoever. And I question, you know, whether or not that wasn't intentional, you know, because as we go through the rest of these questions, you're going to see more of the same of just this kind of a power grab where, they're going to take matters into their own hands and appoint their own people and do their own thing without the input of the public.
Well, yeah.
The power of incumbency in an election, let's say the county executive appoints a vacant position, you know, and
right.
Then you've got your election and the power of incumbency, that person, you know, oftentimes gets reelected to that position because then they are considered the incumbent in that position. And really, they've been hand-selected by the executive. No, it's not going to work.
Okay. It's your county. If you folks don't agree with Lisa, call us at 347-677-1835, and we'll have a chat about it. The Cardinals are losing 1-0. The Giants just finished batting in the first, so the first inning is over. We're moving into the second. Cardinals went 1-2-3 in their first inning, so we'll... No, they didn't. They had a hit. So Holiday did bat. They'll be looking at probably Craig, Fries, and Molina would be my guess. Okay, so question three. Shall the charter... And listen, this is question three out of 10. Shall the charter of St. Charles County be amended as follows? To provide the county executive oversight of the working conditions of all employees of the county, including the authority to investigate and take action to prevent the harassment of, gross mismanagement of, or discrimination against employees. So What would happen is someone would go to the county executive and they would say, hey, you know, I saw a bunch of road crew guys down on the road standing there for 6 hours playing tiddlywinks. Five of them, in fact, they didn't do a damn thing all day long, and I think that's gross mismanagement. The county executive would go to the head of roads and bridges, and the guy in roads and bridges would say, you just keep your nose out of that. That's my business. And so if I read this right, they would want the county executive to be able to actually become a personnel manager. Is that right?
That's pretty much it, yeah. The county executive would have the authority to usurp the department head's control over their own department. And that would include elected officials as well. So it's like your election authority, your tax collector, any of the other elected positions in the county executive would have the authority over all of those offices. Again, total control from the county executive's office. Are you noticing a pattern here?
Yeah. So even like the director of health, which is an elected position,
I don't have a list of all the elected positions here in St. Charles County, but all of them. I mean, we have several elected positions in St. Charles County, which, you know, to me, this is a slippery slope. I mean, they've already knocked a few. We don't elect our circuit clerk anymore. There's a few positions we don't elect anymore. They're appointed, okay? And this is a slippery slope in my mind, at least, to doing that again to more positions in the county. But again, you know, where's the checks and balances here? Do you want your county executive to have this much power? Because we're only halfway through the questions here. And everything's going to the county executive.
Well, let's look at what checks and balances is in a county. In a county like yours, unlike mine, where we have three county commissioners, in a county like yours, you have a legislative branch, you have an executive branch, and I gather from reading one of these that if the executive does something, that it can be overruled by the council. Likewise, if the council does something, the executive can veto it. It works just exactly like a legislative executive check and balance, doesn't it?
Yep. And you don't want to take the voting aspect out of that issue, which is what is going on right here, because I'm telling you, too, there's a real good old boy system here in St. Charles County. These people have all kind of networked together since before dirt was invented. So the voters need to have a say.
Okay. So basically, Lisa, you're just in favor of doing away with the republic system and having a pure democracy where people vote on everything?
No. Where did you get that idea?
No, I'm just asking you.
Oh, absolutely not. No, I mean, you've got an executive branch, you've got a legislative branch, you've got a judicial branch, just like you do in all other forms of government, and the people vote in these people. You know, the people of the community are in charge of voting these people in and out, and that's the way it needs to work. You know, if the people are engaged and they're voting, you know, they have the government answers to them and not the other way around. And with the way I see this being set up with all of these questions and propositions is that the people are being taken out of the equation. They've certainly been taken out of the equation to be putting these on the ballot so quickly because there was no public input to putting any of these on the ballot for November. Most counties or municipalities, if they're looking to do something huge like change your county charter, they will introduce something to the community 6 months, 8 months in advance. They'll have public hearings. They'll have fiscal studies. They'll do all kinds of things to, you know, to vet the question out thoroughly. This was done within weeks.
Okay, I get where you're going, and yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, in my experience, I mean, even in our smaller counties and in the small city of Springfield where I live, you're right. You're absolutely right. We do that. We have open hearings. We have, you know, we have the newspaper gets in and prints the pros and cons in four column format. And they, you know, they talk to the people on the pro side and they talk to the people on the con side, and the TV stations all talk about it for a month. And then we vote on it. So, yeah, I see where you're coming from here. I mean, even if you have some good ideas here, It's just the method.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you want to change the charter, and it's a good idea to change the charter because there's a need. You know, you don't take the people out of the equation and disallow their input to the situation, ever.
Right. Regardless. Right. Well, I mean, and the executive, I'm sure, is going to say we're not disregarding the people's input. They're going to give their input on November the 7th.
Okay. Well, let me address that as well. I got an opinion on that too.
Okay.
Are you trying to take a break?
No, no, not at all. No.
Okay. I'm not trying to back all over my statements, but okay, when you have a system of government set up, we live in a republic where we elect representatives to go into government service and make certain decisions for us based on their representation of our wishes. Okay, and let's take the smoking ban that was introduced. Okay. In my opinion, something like a smoking ban is absolutely a ridiculous issue, and a lot of times you'll hear councils or legislators say, well, you know, I really don't agree with this or that or the other thing, but we put it on the ballot because the people were going to be allowed to vote for it. Well, you know, that's the biggest bunch of hooey I've ever heard in We elect people to make certain decisions for us based on what they know the community has put them in office for. They're representing our wishes. And it's a cop-out to be putting these kinds of things on the ballot to change the charters. In the case of a smoking ban, now these charter questions are another story. Because, I mean, they know whether or not, you know, unless the people are storming the county council meetings telling you they want a smoking ban in the community, there should be no smoking ban on the ballot at all.
I agree.
Put them there to make those kinds of decisions. Now, there are obviously charter questions, which, you know, I would not have that same opinion for. Some of these questions shouldn't even be on the ballot at all. But unless the people are telling you what they want, you know, and it's an issue, you know, you don't cop out and say, well, you know, I'm against it, but if the people are going to vote for it, then we'll go ahead and allow it. Now, a lot of that stuff gets pushed through at the very last minute, like it did in the case of St. Charles County, and there was no time to vet the issue, there was no time to get input from the community. And they just put it on the ballot, and they wash their hands of it and absolve their responsibility as an elected official. I know that kind of sounds like a dance in both directions, but I think that there are instances where that happens all the time.
But what if, what if the council passes something and you don't agree with it?
Then I don't vote for the council person next time.
And so, It's just that simple. I mean, the council ought to do what the council thinks they're going to do, and if they don't do it right, then you just vote them out.
Yeah.
And that's the way the system works, except in the city of St. Louis.
Right.
Okay. We'll talk about that on next Monday night. So this is another no, and just for the record, now everything's been a no so far, and everything's going to be a no. And as we've already discussed with Lisa, Cardinals just scored a run. Chris Carpenter got an RBI. I'm sorry.
Anybody left on base?
Carpenter would still be on base. Yeah, Carpenter will be on first. Cosmo was just driven in. Chris Carpenter doubles on a line drive to center fielder Angel Pagan. Pete Cosma scored from first after a walk. Okay, so Miss St. Charles, we have Miss St. Charles County herself here with us tonight, Lisa Payne Nager. She's been doing a lot of, not only study, but she's been doing a lot of hard work. You've been doing a lot of hard work on these, haven't you, Lisa? You've been going to meetings and getting rallies going and talking to people and calling people, and K&N's been out there working this thing.
The grassroots folks here are hot under the collar. We are not happy about what's going on here with all of these issues.
So unlike me, I mean, Lisa, I asked Lisa to send me a copy of all these initiatives, and she did that 3 or 4 days ago. And so unlike me, who's just actually kind of read over these and tried to say, well, what the hell does that mean, so that we can talk about it fairly intelligently, Lisa's been working this thing. And so that's why I'm giving her basically the say on whether or not we are for it or against it. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other, except for the fact that I love liberty. That I love the rights of the people above all else. And so, but Lisa studied these things, and so we're counting on her to keep us and you folks in St. Charles County informed of what's going on. Question four, Lisa: shall the charter of St. Charles County be amended to prohibit an officer or employee of the county from knowingly accepting any service, thing of value, or other compensation directly or indirectly from any person, firm, or corporation having dealings with the county? Now, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it does sound pretty good. And I did ask about this question, and I think that there are already provisions in the charter to make this happen. I mean, you know, officers can't take bribes. You know, county council people can't take bribes. And it just falls under the umbrella of everything else, the speed with which this was done, you know, the fact that there's, you know, not the ability to study the issue and how it relates to other things. You know, we've already got this. Leave it alone. Just vote no.
Okay. So basically, I mean, if a member takes a bribe now, it's already against the law. But this wouldn't be a bribe, actually. This would be more of a lobbying effort. You know, this would actually be saying you can't lobby the county council.
Tomato, tomato, same thing.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, that sounds pretty good, but you're suggesting that that's probably just another piece of Yankee Doodle legislation.
Yep, that's it.
Okay, Yankee Doodle legislation, for those of you who don't know, you'll become familiar with this again after January, because Lisa will be talking about it again probably every week as the Missouri legislative session comes around. But Yankee Doodle legislation is a term coined by Lisa that basically means a piece of legislation that does absolutely nothing but give someone a warm, fuzzy feeling that they can take back to the voters and say, hey, look what I did. I named a road after your great-grandpa. Give me money. Okay, here's the biggie, Lisa. Shall the St. Charles County Charter be amended by providing for the establishment of the County Police Department and transferring the duties for the Patrol Division, Detective Bureau, and other direct police duties and their support functions to a County Police Department, and providing for the Sheriff's Department to be in charge of court services and security, including the all-important jobs of prisoner transport, service of processes, and bailiffs? Now, that's a biggie, huh?
Yeah. You know, I can hear the truck from the Acme Crown Company backing up to Steve Ellman's office with their big delivery of crowns, because this is the queen mother of all ridiculous initiatives on the ballot. This is just ridiculous. This effectively disassembles your sheriff's department and your ability to vote for the last bastion of freedom and liberty between you and the government. This takes your right away to vote for your county law enforcement.
County, now folks, county sheriffs, and I believe that probably, I'm sure, that the only thing that keeps them in St. Charles County from saying, okay, we're going to do away with the sheriff completely and we're just going to take it over with a county police department, is that you can't do that. Every county in the state of Missouri has to have an elected sheriff. So they've got to leave the sheriff there. They're forced into doing that. And so all they do is just, with this charter amendment, Lisa, am I right, is just kind of strip him of any power.
Yeah, I mean, he's just stripped to duties only, you know, serving court services and transporting prisoners and a couple, you know, bailiffs.
Getting coffee for the county executive.
Yeah, I mean, really, that's it. There's not a whole lot of responsibility there. So, and it shifts all the other responsibility to an appointed police force headed up by a police chief appointed by, guess who, the county executive.
Well, the county council.
Well, the county executive selects the contenders.
Right, and then they get voted on by the council, right.
Yeah, so basically, you know, the county executive, again, has all the power there.
Which makes it a hell of a lot better than the way judges are selected, by the way, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that. But, you know, I mean, again, for all of the reasons, obvious, you know, it takes away your right to vote, and you do not want to take away your right to vote to hold accountable your law enforcement. And there was a great article. There was actually Post-Dispatch had a pretty good article in today's. I read it. I don't know if it was yesterday or today. Ridiculous reasons. But the reason the sheriff of our county is proposing this amendment to the county council is politically, it's too disruptive every 4 years to have an election to elect a new sheriff. And other than that, you know, they can't come up with a whole lot of reasons why we need to do this. And the next reason is, I'm sorry, let me correct that. They're trying to say that they want to have a more qualified person put in this position, somebody with credentials, whereas, you know, you can elect anybody to be the sheriff. Anybody can run and be elected as the sheriff as it stands now. The way the bill is worded, though, if you do have an appointed police chief, they have to pass certain criteria. They have to be degreed. They have to go through certain FBI training. They have to have certain other credentialed training through law enforcement. Or, as a caveat, they can have commensurate experience.
Or they could be a friend of the county executive.
Right, exactly. So they've got a list of all of the things that they're going to require a new appointed sheriff or a new appointed police chief to be, or they can have commensurate experience, which could mean anything. So, you know, they're talking out of both sides of their face on this initiative, and the worst part of it is they take away the people's right to vote again, you know, and they're putting it in the hands, again, of the county executive, and it's just wrong, you know. There's no reason for it.
So they want to do away with the cost of electing a sheriff every 4 years, but and I guess you could say that it would be good to do away with the cost of electing the head of the health board and the head of the fire board, and for that matter, even, you know, whatever. And you could just appoint all those positions too, but why not start with the most important one if we're gonna pinch that in?
How much does freedom cost? You know, how much? What price would you actually put on that?
Well, nothing, because it's not like you have a special election for the sheriff. I mean, you put his name on the ballot with 30 others.
Right. Well, with whatever initiative, you know, for every 4 years, he goes on just like everybody else goes on.
Well, I mean, that's the same 4 years you have your governor's election. I mean, you have you elect your council persons, you elect your executive, you elect your everything else.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, it's probably a couple of cents worth of ink, maybe, but.
Well, you know, and another interesting point about this initiative is it was put on, you know, middle of September, just like all the other initiatives were put on. There was no cost study done on this initiative, and the sheriff has determined that it's going to cost $97,000 to switch the whole department up and to change, you know, to split the departments and restripe the cars and buy new uniforms and stationery and everything. And they're going to take it out of some of the targeted funds that are already running in the police department or the sheriff's department to pay for it. You know, there's absolutely no way, because there will be additional administrative costs for hiring new administrative people to run two departments. You know, there may be costs for new facilities. You know, they have done none of those studies. None of that has been vetted. No community input, again, has been had on this issue. And, you know, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely a power grab. And it's a good old boy system here at work trying to take control. And the people need to be aware. They need to come out and vote on November 6th.
But more importantly, or as importantly at least, and what people need to be aware of, and this is paramount, people, because we here at this show, we talk about liberty, and we talk about preserving your liberty, and that is what Lisa called the sheriff, is the last bastion of protection for your liberty. I mean, when we talked about, you know, earlier in the last Missouri legislative session, when we talked about Obamacare nullification, where we would pass a law that says no one from the federal government can force anyone in the state of Missouri to buy insurance, the person who would come and protect you from the IRS when they came and tried to take you to jail is your sheriff that you elected.
Right.
You know, when and many states are doing this. Many states are telling the Food and Drug Administration or the Department of Agriculture, you keep the hell off of our farms. If we don't sell interstate to fall under the Interstate Commerce Clause, we can sell our damn milk to anyone we want in any condition we want, as long as the buyer is aware that they're buying raw milk. You stay out. The person who's going to come and protect you from the Department of Agriculture in that state is the county sheriff.
Yeah, Dave, I mean, I don't know how to stress this any more clearly. This really, I mean, it is. It's the last bastion of protection between you and the government to keep you safe. And this is a trend also that's going on all across the country, to pick off these sheriff's departments one at a time, to bring in these appointed police departments across the country. And, you know, it's just like any other progressive movement. You know, they do it slowly, they do it quietly and methodically, one step at a time. And there's the only county in St. Louis, in Missouri, that does not have a sheriff's department is St. Louis County. They have a police department. So every other county in the state runs just fine under a sheriff's department. And our sheriff's department isn't broken in the first place. So why are we fixing something that's not, you know, broken?
Well, and I'm going to tell you what the conspiracy theorist in me is saying about this all over the country replacing sheriffs with county police is this, and Ray Cuneo is going to agree with me if you ever ask him this question. It is going to be the county level where they push Agenda 21. Is going to be the county level where they come and start pushing these things on you, and one day you're going to stand up and say no to these Agenda 21 things, and there's going to be no one there to take your side because they've taken over your county sheriff.
That's right. That's right. And I mean, it sounds a little conspiracy theory, but it's all very true. And they, you know, people that are initiating these power grabs understand how the government situation works, and they can pick away one strand at a time, and pretty soon you have nothing left in your tapestry.
Okay. That's it. That's six St. Charles County ballot initiatives on top of the four state ones. They're all no's, and don't get fooled. Some of them sound real good, but like Lisa said, they are all no's because they haven't gone the process that these ballot initiatives should go. Even if you come across a good one, a good sounding one that says you can't lobby county officials. Vote no, because that's a slippery slope. It is, as Lisa called it, a slippery slope for you to be voting in anything that hasn't gone the proper route. There should be public hearings. There should be publications. People should talk about these things on the morning radio talk shows. People should talk about them on the TV news and in the newspapers. And everybody should have a say. The newspaper or the evening news should cover the county council meetings where these things are talked about before you even are asked to make a decision on something as complex as question one, which has nine different things in it.
That's right.
Can I
just give a little information too about the Save Our Sheriff campaign that's going on here?
Certainly.
Grassroots.
Sure.
Most of the deputies in the sheriff's department are opposed to this initiative, and they banded together to start a campaign to educate the people about what this whole situation really is. And there's a website, and it's called SaveOurSheriffDepartment.com. It's DEP.com, And they have all the information there that you need to know about the Save Our Sheriff Department campaign. And we have some events and activities going on around the county that you can get involved in to help defeat this initiative. On October 26th and November 3rd, the grassroots folks are going to gather on some street corners here in various parts of the county and have a sign wave. We're going to try to alert people to the issue. Most of the time what we're finding is most of the people don't know that this is going on. They're going to find out about it for the first time when they go to the ballot on the 6th. So we're trying to go out to as many events as we can to let people know. Once they find out about it, they're kind of surprised and not too happy about the issue. So come to a sign wave. You'll see us on the corner of in St. Peter's of Cave Springs and Mexico Road from 5:30 to 7 p.m. on October 26th. You'll see our red and white Save the Sheriff's Department signs. And on November 3rd from 12:30 to 2. At Wentzville Parkway, right in front of there. So come on out and get some information. You'll see us with our signs. We'll have information for you. You can get a yard sign for your yard. And there's also some action items. You can go to the Take Action tab and write some letters. We have all the information there for you to write letters to the entire county council, the county executive, the sheriff, and all of the local newspapers in St. Charles County, so that this is a grassroots campaign. There's not a lot of money. We're not going to be able to pay for a lot of advertising. But if you, the citizen, can get some of that information out via your local newspapers, that would be very helpful. So you can click the email links there and all of the links to the publications and get that information out and just flood them, you know, burn up the Internet with your information there.
Well, there you go. Thanks, Lisa, for all the hard work you've done on these questions for the people of St. Charles County and really to keep the rest of us out here informed of what's going on and how insidious this creep can be, because we need to all be watching out for this kind of thing. When we come back from the break, Lisa and I are going to take on some upcoming stuff on Missouri Grassroots Radio. We're going to talk about what's coming up this week, and we'll just chat about the debate again for a couple of minutes before we say goodnight.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
By the Missouri Family Network to Secretary of State Robin Carnahan and Attorney General Chris Koster of misleading voters. Yes, 50 judges facing retention voters across Missouri are not publicly posted on the state's website designed for that very purpose. Scores of citizens were angered a few weeks ago when Robin Carnahan failed to update the website for many days following the Cole County Court ruling that her ballot question on Proposition E, Obamacare health care exchange, was misleading. After the court reworded the top ballot question, she saw no need to correct the state's website within any reasonable time frame. Even then, she did not change the fair ballot language to reflect the newly worded question for weeks until pressured by the same groups who took her to court in the first place. Carnahan and Koster drafted the biased ballot question for Constitutional Amendment 3, seeking to tweak the Missouri nonpartisan court plan. It would seem they want to mislead voters to oppose any changes to this provision of the Missouri State Constitution. It is this provision which dictates how certain Missouri judges, including all higher courts, are to be appointed rather than elected. After serving on the bench, these judges face a yes or no retention vote, but with no campaigns or public scrutiny. As a result, voters are left in the dark over such judges' performances on the bench and our qualifications to serve. There are no challengers or invested campaigns to bring forth any information one way or the other about these judges. Now, it would appear that our current Secretary of State and Attorney General do not want voters to know ahead of time that these judges will even be appearing on the ballot. thank goodness Carnahan is leaving office. But Koster is challenged by Ed Martin in the November 6th election. We know who we're going to vote for. I'm Terry Barner for the Grassroots Minute.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Dave, Lisa, Missouri Grassroots Radio, the Hour of Truth, and Cardinal Baseball, what more could a person want on a Monday night? Here we are. We're back. What you got coming up Wednesday, Lisa, on the Culture Vigilante Hour?
Oh, we've got a full slate of things going on today. Beth Pearlson, she's a military mom. She's going to come along and talk to us about the latest developments in closing Guantanamo Bay and what that's going to mean for the folks right next door to us in Illinois, across the country, and even Missouri. We're going to have Usama Dakdok. He's going to come on and talk to us about some of the issues that were brought up when that supposed video caused all the uprising in the Middle East and what that really means, what it did mean and what it didn't mean. And Lauren Maloney of Commuter Patriots is going to come on and talk to us about Amendment 3.
Well, that sounds pretty full and pretty exciting. We've talked about Amendment 3 a little bit today. Lisa and I chit-chatted about Amendment 3 a little bit today. Amendment 3, for those of you who don't know, is the way we pick judges. It's basically something that's been titled the Missouri Plan. The Missouri Plan is so popular, it's been adopted kind of in one form or another by 35 other states. And now they want to make some tweaks to the Missouri Plan. It's interesting. And it's something that a lot of people don't know a lot about. So tune in to Lisa on Wednesday night for a real education on Amendment 3, the Missouri Plan, and how we pick judges and what they want to do to that process. On Thursday night, along comes Kevin, the hillbilly logic dude. The hillbilly himself will be here imparting good old-fashioned Missouri common sense to you and applying that common sense to everyday life and to Missouri politics. I don't know who Kevin's having on. I haven't talked to Kevin yet this week, but that's always a great show. Friday night, of course, is the roundtable. Always fun, always exciting. Going to make it Friday, Lisa?
I believe that I will make it on Friday. We'll be able to pick apart the debate again.
We'll be talking about the debate, I'm sure, and we'll be talking a little bit more about Cardinal baseball, I'm sure. It could well be over by Friday, or it could be down to the final game. Right now, the Cardinals just stranded a man on second base, wasted a leadoff double with three outs. And after that, stranded that guy on second base. They're going into the bottom of the third inning. It's tied 1-1. So that's baseball. That's the initiatives in St. Charles County. That is the debate wrap-up. That is the Aiken poll wrap-up. That, my friends, is the Hour of Truth on Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. Good night.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.